Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Sean, and I'm so glad to welcome you to Wednesday, August 24th, 2016, episode 14 of Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast. On tonight's show, explosive Summer Slam results and NXT TakeOver Brooklyn results, WWE Raw SmackDown results as always, and WWE news and rumors. We got it all here for you tonight. Stay tuned. It's coming up next. Only here, live on Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast. And now the moment you have all been waiting for all week so patiently. Let's find out what he thought about SummerSlam. Here's your host from Cleveland, Ohio, Big T.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining us tonight for this brand new episode number 14 of Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast. Thank you, Sean, for the wonderful introduction as always. Basically, guys, just to give you guys a little bit of a rundown to what I think of SummerSlam. You know, we'll get to it in the review and recap when we get that far, but you know, just to kick it off and give you a little general quick review right off the bat, SummerSlam weekend I thought was a fantastic weekend. I mean, we had NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 2, phenomenal in every way possible. It was like WrestleMania, in my view, like WrestleMania quality. With SummerSlam, it had its hit and miss moments. I think it had more hit moments than it did miss moments, but the ending of SummerSlam is something that's of a scene coming. I think it was something, you know, out of left field. The whole busted open thing I think was great. I thought finally seeing that little bit of color that we all crave, you know, in wrestling matches. To finally get to see that for like a little treat, it was awesome. As far as Balor and Rollins as a potential match of the year candidates, SummerSlam as far as like match of one of the best matches that we've seen on SummerSlam was John Cena and AJ Styles, I think was the best one out of it all. I mean, those guys had a match of the year candidate right there. And I think it will be match of the year for a second. Match of the year between Styles and Cena. Those two guys, what they did was just something that you do not see every day. Great, great stuff. Now, AJ Styles got the win because John Cena, as I reported here, a couple of times on the show throughout the month, that John Cena is going to be on hiatus. And that's what's happening right now. He'll probably be gone until, I would say, Survivor Series time. Once Survivor Series comes around, I think Cena will come back. This might lead to Team Cena, Team Styles kind of thing. You know, not really sure what's going to happen, but I think that's going to turn out to be great. The Raw after SummerSlam, definitely. You had, you know, guys qualifying to earn their spot in the Universal title match, which we're going to see this upcoming Monday. We had Balor, who had to relinquish his title because of a shoulder injury, has a torn labrum. I'm sure Sean will give his opinions on that. You know, actually, this is usually my opening thought, but running through all this, once I get my thought done, I actually would like to have an opening thought from Sean as well, because this was a big weekend, and I'm sure we would all like to hear what he has to say as well. But it was good. You know, topping it off with SmackDown. SmackDown served its purpose with, it told a story, guys qualifying for the tag titles, guys qualifying, for the tag title tournament. We found out that the women are going to be in a six-pack challenge match. You know, it was pretty damn good in my opinion. I enjoyed it, even though it might not be the most popular thing to say. I even think SmackDown was pretty damn decent as well. So, great weekend. We had 4 days of best wrestling entertainment that we could possibly see. TakeOver Brooklyn 2, SummerSlam, Raw, SmackDown. Huge, huge week, and only thing I think that can top this pretty much is WrestleMania weekend. I mean, how do you feel about this, Sean?
Well, I'm definitely thirsty, but I really enjoyed SummerSlam weekend. It was must-see TV. Whether or not you agree with the results or the new title, whether you're a fan of that or not, you cannot say that it was not very interesting. And it had people watching. It had people talking. It had people watching. And that's the beauty of WWE, is you might not agree with everything, but it's a part of history. It's a part of WWE history now. And we just got to move on and figure out where we go from here. But I definitely thought it was top notch.
Yeah, it definitely was. I mean, I don't know if we'll ever see a weekend for SummerSlam top this one. I know it's not popular because I know there were a lot of people that did not, I would say maybe half of the community that didn't really enjoy it all that much. But I mean, I did. I really did. And it sounds like you did. And they hit that proverbial home run, so to speak. They really did. And they should be proud of themselves for the show that they delivered. That's for sure.
Your mic audio just went down a lot.
Yeah, because I'm messing with it to make sure. All right. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
Dropping in and out, or am I staying with you clear?
Clear as crystal clear.
Perfect. But, you know, WWE put on a great weekend, and also, and in my opening thought, I don't know if you know this or not, Sean, but today is the father of the WWE's Vince McMahon's birthday today. He turned 71 years old.
Hashtag, so, happy birthday, hot, sweaty man.
Yeah, I remember when you showed me that the thing on Twitter with that whole thing about liking big, sweaty men. And then you had Vince McMahon. It was this whole thing which was really, really funny. I wish we could show everybody here on the video portion of the podcast, but, you know, WWE footage and all this thing with the copyrights, we know how that is, but I guess to tell people too, because I jumped right into my opening thought right off the bat, but to tell everybody and let them know, if you're a first-time listener of this podcast, you can check us out on YouTube, where we do a video version of this podcast where you can watch us doing it, or got the links down below where you can listen to us on Podomatic and iTunes. So make sure if you subscribe on Podomatic or iTunes, leave a 5-star rating podcast and subscribe to it. If you're watching the video portion of the podcast, you're watching it on my YouTube channel, Beyond the Ring with Big T. So make sure to subscribe to my YouTube channel and keep up on everything there, because not only do we have the podcast on the channel, but I have everything down below what I did from this weekend. SummerSlam review, Raw review, SmackDown review. I'm probably going to try to get out just a small NXT TakeOver Brooklyn review. So lots of good stuff. So you're going to want to check it out on the channel. So if you haven't subscribed, subscribe right now.
Anything else on your mind today, or do you want to head over to, speaking of NXT Brooklyn a little bit early here?
Well, I guess if I had to pick apart a little something on my mind, one thing that I know we'll dive in on the SmackDown recap, but I might as well use these few minutes that I have right now instead of doing it while we're doing the recap is, Heath Slater basically came out this week on SmackDown Live. You know, he's still lobbying for a job. He's Mr. Free Agent, you know, and what have you. And basically what happened was he came out, you know, he's looking at the title saying that he wants some gold around his waist. It's funny when Daniel Bryan cracked the joke to him, you know, he's like, well, you know, you wouldn't exactly qualify for the women's championship. Oh no, I'm looking at these tag team championships. So Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon pretty much laid something on the Heath Slater. If he could find himself a partner by the end of the night, he'll be entered in the tag team tournament. But the sinker here is in the catch that the only way for Heath Slater to be able to get a contract on SmackDown Live would be to win the tournament. Team titles. So basically what happened was Heath Slater went around asking people. He was asking The Miz, but The Miz didn't even pay attention to him. He was on the phone talking to, who was it, one of those big Hollywood directors, Steven Spielberg or whatever he was talking about being in the next Indiana Jones movie. Then you move on, Heath Slater's talking to Arn Anderson. That doesn't work out. Then Rhino comes in and talks to Heath Slater. And then he says he wants to be Heath Slater's tag team partner. So Heath Slater and Rhino are now in this SmackDown tag team tournament. Man, how do you feel about this one, Sean? I mean, this is a big swing of events here. Heath Slater and Rhino, do you think that they're actually going to get the titles? No. Eric and Alpo?
I think the Usos are going to be the first champions, and it'll be pretty boring, but never really been too crazy about Rhino. I definitely respect him and his legacy, but never been too crazy about him. And Heath Slater, I could care even less than I do about Rhino.
Believe me, I agree with you there. I mean, I like Rhino. I'm a fan of Rhino because I'm a fan, and I watched a lot of the old ECW back in the day. But Heath Slater, I don't understand why he still has a job there. What this whole free agent storyline that they're doing is accomplishing, because I don't even know if the WWE knows what they want to do with Heath Slater. I'm at a complete loss here. So it is, but 8 teams in the SmackDown tag tournament. You got 6 women on SmackDown and a 6-pack challenge. I don't think these titles should be added. When you got 8 teams and 6 women, that means you got a problem. You don't have enough talent to make new championships, and I don't know why they're doing it, but hey, their boat, I guess, right?
You got that right, man. So speaking of SummerSlam weekend and how awesome it was Saturday night. We kicked it off live from the Barclays Center with a little bit of NXT action. That's right. For the second year in a row, NXT took over Brooklyn. TakeOver Part 2. NXT does pay-per-view right. Did they do it right again on Saturday? Let's find out. Ty Dillinger defeated Wesley Blake in a singles match for 12 minutes and 11 seconds. And these are the dark matches, by the way. The Authors of Pain defeated TM61. In a tag team match that was 11 minutes, 11 seconds. And in the first match on the main card, Austin Aries defeated No Way Jose via submission. Love that match. 10 minutes and 42 seconds. Great match. And in the second match of the night, Ember Moon, a real standout star on the women's side of NXT, defeated Billie Kay in a beautiful exhibition in a match that lasted only 4 minutes and 35 seconds. Bobby Roode, oh so glorious. Bobby Roode defeated Andrade Almas in a singles match that lasted 10 minutes and 22 seconds. Bobby Roode had one of the best entrances in WWE history. It was absolutely glorious. And the Revival, Scott Dawson and Dash Wild, the tag team champions, defeated Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa by submission to retain their NXT tag team championships in a match that lasted 19 minutes and 10 seconds. And in another championship match on the card, Asuka, the women's champion on NXT, defeated Bayley to retain her women's championship. Asuka retains the women's NXT championship in a singles match that lasted 14 minutes and 7 seconds. And in one of the best matches in NXT history, we had Japan's finest Shinsuke Nakamura defeat Samoa Joe, the NXT champion, to become the new NXT champion. Shinsuke Nakamura is the new NXT heavyweight champion of the world in a match that lasted 21 minutes and 14 seconds, a pure clinic of perfection. It was super, super, super. So NXT, man, both the male and female champions are Japanese exports, and Japan is being well served down on NXT, and it sure seems like the days of, you know, crappy little gimmicks for Asian wrestlers like Funaki and Kai and Tai and all that, those days are over. Asians are being well represented in the WWE right now with your women's champion Asuka and your heavyweight champion Shinsuke Nakamura. And that's what happened on NXT TakeOver Brooklyn Part 2, number 2, Saturday night, August 20th, 2016, live from the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York, USA. Big T, I know you didn't get to see it live. I saw it live, and it was fantastic. I loved every second of it. The crowd is just unbeatable. It's amazing how the NXT crowd gets applauded by the WWE for speaking their mind, but God forbid the same people speak their mind on the main roster, they're damned to hell. It's like WWE, you have to realize you don't have a job if it isn't for those people in that audience, and if you're going to keep ridiculing them and dismissing them, you're going to lose more than half of your fan base real quick. So you better watch yourself and stop disrespecting the fans and stop tweeting out how ashamed you are of the fans, because you know what? That's disgusting. And you guys are becoming conceited pieces of shit when you're tweeting out, and I'm talking to Seth Rollins, my favorite, tweeting out how ashamed he is of the WWE universe for criticizing the Universal freaking Championship, which is a championship named after us and actually has no history, so we should be able to criticize it however we want. There's no history in it. There's no prestige. It's just a freaking belt that was made yesterday. And it's our belt. Don't criticize people for speaking their mind. Embrace that. It's a free country. You want to be a communist country, Seth Rollins? Move to China. I mean, yeah, I'll miss you, but I'll move on. So that's my two cents on this controversial SummerSlam weekend. It's like NXT fans are amazing. They're able to speak their mind, but God forbid those same fans come over to the main roster and share what they're thinking, or you'll just be ridiculed and made fun of by the main roster.
Yeah, it's just, I don't understand why, you know, it works that way. I really don't understand where they're coming from, but be that as it may.
Hey, bud.
Yeah.
Your audio was a little bit better when you first started the show. I don't know if maybe you could switch it back to those.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm still tinkering with some stuff here.
Alright. Now it's perfect.
Alright, I'll just put it back then to where it's been and
yeah,
tinker with it some other time, but I'm tinkering with some stuff, but it seems like this is what's working. But, you know, well, first off, what was your rating for NXT? What do you give NXT for their rating for TakeOver Brooklyn 2?
10 seal of approval.
Yeah, without a doubt, NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 2, you're talking about an event that made history. You're talking about Shinsuke Nakamura and Samoa Joe, who had one of the most phenomenal NXT title matches I think that I can remember in recent memory. You also had, like we said, Bobby Roode. Absolute glorious entrance. Oh, man. Trying to think what else we had here, because I'm doing this off the top of my head without looking at the card. Bayley and Asuka, incredible. Can't get much better than that from a woman's standpoint, unless you're doing Bayley and Sasha from last year's TakeOver Brooklyn. But, you know, that was what it was. Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa against The Revival. Gargano's the real deal. Gargano, I can't wait to see his final indie match a month from now, September 23rd, wrestling here in Cleveland. Gargano's last indie match before he decides to move on to the WWE full time. And I think he's gonna shine. He's going to shine big time. But Samoa Joe, by the way, there's reports going around. I don't think it's been confirmed as of yet, but there are some people thinking that Samoa Joe may have a broken jaw. Receiving the Shinsaka, I believe is the name of Nakamura's finishing move. Because he laid the kick in on the jaw really good. And from what I heard from people in attendance, Joe was knocked out on the outside. You know, when Nakamura was celebrating, the referee threw up the X. They had the doctors come out. They took Samoa Joe back while Nakamura was celebrating, but very well represented. I hope that he gets to go on a great run. And like I said before, now they have time to build. Build up Johnny Gargano from this point up until the NXT TakeOver event, which would be TakeOver Orlando, two days before WrestleMania. Have Gargano and Nakamura and have Gargano take the title. That will be as good as Joe and Nakamura was. I know Gargano and Nakamura could be that much better because I know how Gargano can work. And then you could build on having Gargano face Austin Aries, having Gargano face Bobby Roode. There's reports I'm hearing that James Storm is actually teasing that he's going to come back to NXT. So, you know, we'll see how it is, because I guess from what...
That's confirmed. He's signed.
Oh, yeah, it has been confirmed? Okay. Well, James Storm on his way back to NXT. I hope they bring back beer money. For any of you that have watched TNA, and if you haven't, if you don't know the tag team of beer money with James Storm and Bobby Roode, I really hope they team them up in NXT so you guys can see in the WWE and in NXT what these two guys are capable of as a team. They're incredible. James Storm and Bobby Roode embody the word tag team. They're just perfect. They really are. They work perfect together. So I hope they give them a chance to team up with one another. But other than that, man, TakeOver Brooklyn 2, I think it might have been better than the first. I mean, as good as that Kevin Owens Finn Balor ladder match was, I'm thinking Nakamura and Joe could have topped it. I don't know what you think, but that was such a great main event with just great pure wrestling. It was almost as if they were artists with a blank canvas and the wrestling mat being the canvas, and they just painted this beautiful picture of what a wrestling match should be. And I feel like NXT TakeOver Brooklyn should have been the show taking place on Sunday night. I mean, no doubt SummerSlam was good, but NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 2, just like Sean said, it gets a 10 seal of approval from me as well. It's not just a regular 10, can't even, you're talking perfect 10, you're talking seal of approval, you're talking show that you must go and check out because it's that incredible. It really is. If you have the network, check it out. If you don't have the network, try to get it. Try to get the network somehow if you have the capability just to see the show. Amazing. I'm trying to think if there's anything that I'm missing, but as far as entrances, like Sean said, Bobby Roode's entrance, wow. I can see if I were to envision in my head to, you know, give you guys a little something to think on. You know, Bobby Roode coming out with the whole glorious entrance. Can you picture Triple H and Bobby Roode now even more? Like I've said before on the show, you could have Bobby Roode, you know, coming out with this whole glorious thing. You could have Triple H coming out with, you know, the whole King of Kings gimmick and everything, and just have such a special, really, really firmly believe it in my mind. I really do.
I think Bobby Roode has the best theme song in WWE history.
Dude, he very well might. I mean, he does have a phenomenal theme song right now in it. You know what else? It fits him. Thing, it's not just a good song where, great song, but I don't know if it really fits this guy. It's like Bobby Roode, it fits him. When you hear that song now, and we only heard it once, but when you hear that song now, you're automatically going to think Bobby Roode. Automatic. And I think WWE, Jim Johnson especially, for making that theme, Jim Johnson made gold right there with Bobby Roode's theme. Doubt. I mean, think about it. You go from Jim Johnson making a song called I'm an Ass Man, his theme song, and the whole song was basically about anal sex, if you listen to the words. I'm not joking here, people. That's just how Mr. Ass's, Billy Gunn's theme song was. You go from... What?
We got... Well, I thought that it was the CFOs that made Bobby Roode's new theme song.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'm wrong then. I thought everybody's theme in WWE goes through Jim Johnson, that he's got to mix the music and put it together.
Maybe. But, man, NXT was an absolutely incredible show. So... Let's find out how the main event of the weekend, SummerSlam 2016, live from Brooklyn, New York, Barclays Center, the heart of Brooklyn. Let's find out how SummerSlam paired up against TakeOver Part 2. So, we had in the pre-show, American Alpha, Jason Jordan and Chad Gable, the Hype Bros, Zack Ryder and Mojo Rawley, and the Usos, Jimmy and Jay, defeated Breezango, Tyler Breeze and Fandango, The Ascension, Connor and Victor, and the Vaudevillains, Aiden English and Simon Gotch in a 12-man tag team match in the kickoff show that lasted 14 minutes and 32 seconds. Sami Zayn and Neville, they teamed up to defeat the Dudley Boys, Bubba Ray, and Devon Dudley in a tag team match that only lasted 7 minutes and 55 seconds. That was the second match of the kickoff show. Going into SummerSlam, and the third and final kickoff show match was a first of 7 series match. Sheamus defeated the Swiss Superman Cesaro. First match in a best of 7 series. So now Sheamus leads 1-0, and that match was 14 minutes and 10 seconds. And now to kick off SummerSlam 2016, live from Brooklyn, New York, the Barclays Center. Jericho, Chris Jericho, and Kevin Owens, the newly formed stable in the tag team division, if you want to call it that. It was a tag team match nonetheless. Whether or not that tag team's going to last too long, we shall see. But Jericho, they defeated Enzo Amore and Big Cass in a tag team match that lasted 12 minutes and 8 seconds. What a shocker. Not really, just not too shocked whatsoever. But in the second match of SummerSlam 2016, this was a shocker to millions and millions of fans all across the world. We had the WWE Women's Champion, Charlotte. Yes, Raw Women's Champion. I don't know if we have to differentiate the two now. But I'm just going to call the Raw Championship the Women's Championship like it really is. This was a singles match for the WWE Women's Championship with Dana Brooke barred from ringside. Charlotte, the former Women's Champ, became the 2-time Women's Champ on SummerSlam when she defeated Sasha Banks to regain her championship. So Charlotte leaves SummerSlam as the Women's Champion, and Sasha Banks leaves for a 30-day hiatus to recover from nagging injuries, and that match lasted 13 minutes and 51 seconds. And now in the third match of SummerSlam 2016, we had The Miz, the Intercontinental Champion, along with his lovely wife, Maurice. He defeated Apollo Crews, who is as green as Gushit. That match was a singles match for the WWE Intercontinental Champion for 5 minutes and 45 seconds. Miz and Maurice both leave victorious. And now, in what Big T is calling the match of the year, AJ Styles went one-on-one with Mr. You Can't See Me, Never Give Up, John Cena. But what happened? He gave up. John Cena lost to AJ Styles in a true, true clinic clash of the legends in a singles match that lasted 23 minutes and 10 seconds. AJ Styles defeats John Cena at SummerSlam 2016. What an incredible matchup that was. But SummerSlam wasn't over just yet. We had Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson defeat The New Day, the tag team champions. Yes, that's right. The Club, Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson defeated The New Day, Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods, along with John Stewart by disqualification. So the Club, the best tag team in the world, defeat The New Day, of course. And unfortunately, it had to be by disqualification because big, dumb, goofy, idiot, piece of shit, Big E Langston came out and ruined SummerSlam entirely. That was a tag team match for the WWE Tag Team Championships. That match lasted 9 minutes and 9 seconds. The Club leaving with a win, but without the gold. And in the WWE Championship match of the night, the WWE World Heavyweight Champion Dean Ambrose defended his championship against the challenger Dolph Ziggler in a singles match for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. That match lasted 15 minutes and 18 seconds, only to have Dolph Ziggler still come up too short and not able to beat his fellow Ohio statesman. Dean Ambrose retained his WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Dean Ambrose left SummerSlam 2016 victorious. And to give a little filler here, we had a Natalia Alexa Bliss matchup along with Eva Marie, who was absent due to a recent suspension of the wellness policy violation. They were going against Becky Lynch, Naomi, and Carmella. The ladies of SmackDown took part in a 6-woman tag team match. It lasted 11 minutes and 7 seconds. And also, of course, saw the return of former Divas champion Nikki Bella. Nikki Bella came back to replace Eva Marie, who is absent. So Nikki Bella, Alexa Bliss, and Natalya defeated Becky Lynch, Naomi, and Carmella. The ladies of SmackDown put on a pretty great show. And so great to have Nikki Bella come back. Always looking good. Looking good, Nikki. And now, for the first time ever, we had a pinfall and submission only match for the inaugural WWE Universal Championship. Seth Rollins took on Finn Balor in a one-on-one matchup. No ifs, ands, or buts. This was a clean, clean match. It was beautiful. It lasted 19 minutes and 24 seconds, only to have Finn Balor defeat Seth Rollins to become the first ever Universal WWE Champion. What a match. My match of the year. Absolutely superb. Finn Balor, of course, left the match quite injured and, as we talked about earlier, had to relinquish his title only the very next night on Monday Night Raw. So currently there is no Universal Champion. That will be determined next week. But as it goes at SummerSlam 2016, Finn Balor picked up the victory over Seth Rollins, the only man to ever win a WWE World Heavyweight Championship at his debut pay-per-view in history. Quite an accomplishment from the Irishman, Finn Balor. Now, in a match that really left people with a lot more questions than answers, Rusev, along with Lana, the United States champion, defended against Roman Reigns, except it never officially started. A singles match for the WWE United States Championship lasted 11 minutes and 45 seconds of a non-existent match. It was just a beatdown of Rusev. Roman Reigns trying to get over with a pretty sweet spear, taking down Rusev, going down from the apron. The rampway. Definitely enjoyed it, but would it have killed us to actually get a U.S. Championship match? I guess so. But as if that controversy wasn't enough for SummerSlam 2016, we head into the main event. Brock Lesnar, along with his advocate Paul Heyman, defeated Randy Orton the Viper by technical knockout in a singles match that lasted 11 minutes and 45 seconds, leaving Randy Orton needing 12 stitches after an absolute obliteration, a beatdown by the beast incarnate, Brock Lesnar. Man, what a absolute chaos show. Brock Lesnar bloodied Randy Orton up like a pig. There's no better way to say it. Randy Orton was bleeding all over the ring. Brock Lesnar defeats Randy Orton by a technical knockout, ending SummerSlam 2016. Very controversial show. Very interesting show. No matter what you think of it, you gotta give them that. They had people talking, and that, my friends, was SummerSlam 2016 live from the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York. Big T, you got 20 minutes, man. Let it rip. Let's hear what you have to think of SummerSlam 2016.
Well, SummerSlam 2016, you know, it really had it all. And I'm not saying that, you know, like, for all the good reasons. Like, it had it all, meaning it had the good, it had the bad, it had memorable moments, controversial moments. SummerSlam 2016 is one that truly did have it all. You go from the matches to really kick off the show to kind of try to get you, you know, into it. I mean, they were okay. Like the whole, you know, Enzo Cash, Jericho KO. It couldn't have ended better for me because Jericho got the pinfall win, so there you go. The pre-show matches to me really were a waste. and how Sheamus and Cesaro, how Sheamus could get the win over Cesaro. One out of a best of seven. Man, I don't know what to tell you on that. I really don't know what to tell you, because Sheamus should not be getting the win over Cesaro. Period, man. But wanted, they got it. The Divas matches, it was great to see Nikki Bella back. Obviously, I'm infuriated back to the title. You know, Sasha Banks is the best there is. I'll have a story in my news and rumors why Sasha Banks is taking basically a 30-day hiatus and why it needed to be done. Got news on that, so make sure you stick around for that. I got news on if Kurt Angle will be coming into the WWE soon. I got news about Jericho and Brock Lesnar having a backstage altercation after SummerSlam went off the air. So that's just a little bit of a teaser for your news and rumors. But getting back to SummerSlam, I know Sean probably has a couple stories and news and rumors himself as well. But getting back to SummerSlam, you move on from all that, you know, your undercard matches that are kind of, you know. The women's title, though, with Charlotte and Sasha, I gotta admit, was one of the best ladies' matches that I think I've seen on the main roster this year. I don't know if it compared to that triple threat, though, with Becky, Charlotte, and Sasha at WrestleMania. The women really shined at WrestleMania 32. They really, really did. But, you know, now I'm just gonna get into the main events and the matches that, you know, actually were really newsworthy. You know, while I do have about 15 minutes or so to go on it. John Cena and AJ Styles, hands down match of the year. Match of the year. I don't know what else could beat it. I really don't. I will go on record to say, right now, sitting right here, on August 24th, Wednesday night, John Cena wrestled the best match that he's ever wrestled in his entire career. Technically, you know, just everything he did was absolutely incredible in that ring with AJ Styles. John Cena proved that he can hang with AJ Styles. Think about this, guys. We had AJ Styles kicking out of two regular attitude adjustments, getting out of an STF. AJ Styles actually kicked out of a super AA off the second rope, which nobody's ever kicked out of before. Nobody. This is the first one. When that happened, John Cena was in such complete shock. He was in the corner of the ring, standing there looking with the most shocked look on his face that I think I've ever seen on John Cena. Like, oh my God, do I still have it? Am I still that good? Or is this kid, AJ Styles, really that good? Cena, after he kind of shook the cobwebs loose of the shock, he walks back over to AJ, goes to pick him up for the attitude adjustment. Styles counters right into the Styles clash. AJ rolls out of the ring, springboards, phenomenal forearm, wipes Cena out clean, 1, 2, 3. Then John Cena leaves his armband in the center of the ring and walks away. And that sparked a controversy on Twitter right away. Is John Cena done? Is John Cena walking away? Is this the end of John Cena? No, he's just taking hiatus, people. That's what he's doing. He's got to film the second season of American Grit. And he'll be back. But will they finally turn John Cena heel? I wish and I hope every single day that they turned John Cena heel already. So that match was something that will stand the test of time. You want to know what a pure wrestling match is? Watch John Cena, AJ Styles from SummerSlam 2016. The match that AJ Styles and John Cena had at Money in the Bank, I don't even know what that match is compared to this match at SummerSlam. They really delivered in this match for it all the way. Dolph Ziggler and Dean Ambrose for the WWE title. Oh, guys. I gotta tell you though, straight up. Dolph Ziggler and Dean Ambrose. WWE title match. A lot of hype put into it. Dolph Ziggler, you know, has been being built up and building himself up over time over these past few weeks. And what do they do? Pretty much have Ziggler kind of job out to Dean Ambrose. One dirty deeds, it's over. I mean, you had Ziggler hitting Ambrose with the zigzag and the Famouser kicking out of the Ziggler signature moves. You never had Ziggler hit a super kick, which I was disappointed about. But you've had other men kick out of the dirty deeds before. Ziggler, to me, has talked like the biggest game. And what did they do? Nothing. They didn't even have him kick out of a dirty deeds and even fight his way back up to his feet to get a second one and then lose. Or have the match go a little bit longer and then have him get a second one and then lose. They just drop Ziggler, one dirty deeds, one, two, three, boom, done. It, you know, retains the title, and that's that. So I feel like Dolph Ziggler is being swept under the rug again. I don't know, it just disappoints me, people. That match was one match that let me down. It really did. That match was one match that let me down. Now, moving on from that, Seth Rollins and Finn Balor for the WWE Universal Championship. That, I really enjoyed that. That was another match of the year candidate. It's gonna win match of the year like Cena and Styles, but I believe that it will be in the candidate of match of the year because it was a great match. You had Finn Balor, Seth Rollins. Finn Balor gets injured early on with that right into the security wall by Rollins. And or Finn Balor's labrum, somehow he finished the match. Won the title. But I mean, back and forth. You had Balor kicking out of a pedigree or two. And, you know, Rollins rolling out of the first coup de grace. These guys just went all out. Finn Balor's Demon King entrance, absolutely incredible. I would love to see it live. I hope I get to see it live. Well, probably at WrestleMania 33 is when I will actually see it for the first time live. I'm just thinking of what else they did in that match that stood out to me. Pretty much everything about it, it was fast-paced. It was just what you expected. I could see these guys main eventing at WrestleMania. I mean, they work well together. They gel together perfectly. So, Mania 33, I hope they do this match again. Because this was absolutely an awesome match. Balor gets the win over Rollins with the coup de grace to become the first ever WWE Universal Champion. You know, the belt itself with the red strap and, you know, everything all red. It was almost like the Eva Marie title, like all red everything. That's what the Universal title is. Now, you know, maybe it's just me. Maybe. Do I gotta get with the times? I don't know. Do I gotta get with the times? Or, you know, is it just me as a wrestling fan that wants a little more of a traditional wrestling fan championship? Like, personally can't picture. Alright, like, put yourself in this predicament for a moment. Think of it this way, people. If you have, say, alright, think of back from your childhood, and you see, like, Hulk Hogan with the Winged Eagle belt, or Bret Hart, you know, or Triple H with the Attitude Era Championship. You think back to when you were a kid, and you looked at that wrestling belt, and it was like, you know what? I want to wear this belt. I want to be a champion. This is what I want to be and what I want to do with my life. And it's like now, you know, these generations of kids are going to feel the same way, of course, that want to be WWE superstars. But it's like, I don't think it will be the same degree as to us when we were kids, because it's like now, you're a kid, you're gonna look up and you're gonna see this all red title, gemstones and everything on it, you know, to try to look pretty. And then, you know, you're gonna be like, oh, you know, I really wanna win this title. And it's gonna be like, man, you don't know what belts used to look like back in the day. I would have preferred that one version of the Universal title that was sweeping the rounds when it kind of had the look of the Winged Eagle belt, but revised. Because the Winged Eagle was always my favorite title. I have to admit it. Winged Eagle, that's my title all the way. But be that as it may, will I get used to this title? Maybe. Do I want to buy one to have it to my collection? I would say yes, I do. And you know why I would? Because I don't know how long this Universal title is going to be around. This could be a title that we might only have for a short while with a short history. WrestleMania 33. And this Universal title will be no more. Because
yo, I can't hear you. Well, we're having a bit of a technical difficulty here, ladies and gentlemen. Not able to hear Big T at the moment. But I think Big T was trying to say, like, you know, this might be one of those fluke belts that you gotta just try and get your hands on while you still can. We will be right back with you. Well, while we wait for Big T to get his microphone problem solved, I guess I'll share my two cents of SummerSlam. I think that Finn Balor and Seth Rollins was one hell of a match, and I'm going to be ruthless as hell when I say this right now. If people can't deal with the fact that Seth Rollins is so far beyond their abilities that they're going to go ahead and get injured in their matches well, maybe you shouldn't step in the ring with him because you're not tough enough, you're not good enough, you're not able to handle the pain, you're not able to handle the moves, you're just not good enough. Finn Balor, I'm sorry you got injured, that definitely sucks. Sting, I'm sorry you got injured, that definitely sucks. But guys, you gotta step up to Seth Rollins' level. I know I'm gonna get hate for that, but oh well, bring it on, guys. Just having a little bit of fun here while we, try and get Big T's microphone situated live here on the air on our August 24th, 2016 episode number 14 of Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast, live from Cleveland, Ohio, and right across the state border in Pennsylvania, coming right at you all over the world. Big T, it's shown that your mic is muted. I don't know if that would have anything to do with it. Trying to fix it out there. Still can't hear you, buddy. These type of things happen, ladies and gentlemen. They definitely do live on the air. These type of things always happen, whether you're a billion-dollar show or you're just a local little podcast like us. Technical difficulties are a part of life. So, let's see how we could best take care of this right here, right now for you all tonight on the show while we wait so patiently to hear our host with the most, Big T, get back on the air live with us. Maybe he could throw in one of his old microphones or something like that real quick just to try and make it through the podcast here in one piece. And I know what's funny, guys. Big T just spent a lot of money on a beautiful brand new microphone today. So it's not like we're a low budget show here, people. It's just getting used to new things takes a little bit of time. And that's the way she goes. And man, I picked the wrong time to start eating a Klondike bar because now I don't have any time to eat it. I gotta be talking the whole time. So yeah, while we wrap up our SummerSlam review here for 2016 SummerSlam number 29. This was the 29th SummerSlam of all time. I know for a fact Big T gave this show a 10. And I'm going to second that notion and give SummerSlam 2016 episode number 29, a big old 10. Definitely looking forward to seeing what SummerSlam number 30 has to offer next year. But as scheduled, we are going to head over to WWE Monday Night Raw results live from the Barclays Center the night after SummerSlam 2016. If you give me 1 second, I am going to throw away my Klondike bar and read to you the results. WWE Monday Night Raw for August 22nd, 2016, live from Brooklyn, New York, the Barclays Center. Match number one, we had the WWE Universal Title Qualifier, Sami Zayn versus Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins picks up the win via pinfall in a match that lasted 12 minutes and 52 seconds. In match number two, we had our second WWE Universal Title Qualifier of the night, Neville versus Kevin Owens. Your winner via pinfall in 8 minutes and 30 seconds, Kevin Owens, stepping closer to that red belt. Match number 3, Big E with the New Day, the tag team champions versus Carl Anderson along with Luke Gallows. Your winners via pinfall, Big E in a 3:36. Now the number four match of Monday Night Raw for the night was yet another WWE Universal title qualifier. Big Cass along with Enzo Amore versus Rusev for the United States, he is the United States champion, along with his wife Lana, your winner via countout. Big Cass stepping one step closer to getting that red Universal Championship. All red everything, people. And in match number six of the night, we had Bayley versus Dana Brooke with Charlotte, the women's champion, at ringside. Your winner via pinfall, Bayley, in a match that lasted 4:29. Match number six, Johnny Knockout, who loves big sweaty men, took on Braun Strowman, and Braun Strowman pick up the win in a match that lasted 1:19. we got audio back from Big T.
Is it working?
Yep.
All I had to do was drop out of the call completely.
Ah, man, well, it's good to hear
you. In order to fix it.
But
I'm thinking to myself, screw it. You know, if it drops, because staying in, I learned something new about Google Plus. If you stay in, you can try to fix your setting all you want. It won't work. You actually have to exit, be back in, and fix it. So, there we go. Well,
I'm echoing now.
Let's see.
Hello.
Let's go boom, boom. All right, that's the only setting right there that I could fix.
Hello. All right, maybe I'll drop out and come back.
Yeah, there's something going on with the stream. Try it, Sean. Drop out and come back in, because it's definitely a stream issue on Google Plus's part here. All right. So while we get Sean coming back in, like I was talking about SummerSlam before I had the Google Plus issues. Finn Balor and Rollins was obviously a very good match of the year candidate. And moving on to Brock Lesnar and Randy Orton, I could not be happier. Brock Lesnar and Randy Orton was one of the greatest, one of the most shocking endings. You get the rough elbows, blood just running out of the head of Randy Orton. It's absolutely shocking the way that they ended it. And then you get, let's see, I think I just got a message here from Sean. Okay, hold on here. All right, but we have blood pouring out of the head of Randy Orton. And, you know, Lesnar, we had the blood pouring out of the head of Orton. Lesnar was just looking on, kind of smiling, laughing at what he just did. You know, for a second, it's like you thought, like, wow, did Lesnar really do this, or did it, you know, go on as planned? Well, I have news about whether or not it did go as planned, the match. So, you know, I'll fill you guys in on that when I get to it, news and rumors. But, you know, Orton and Lesnar, the short match, about 10-11 minutes. But I'll tell you, that bloody shocking ending was good. And then that F5 that Lesnar delivered on Shane McMahon, awesome. I loved it. Will this lead to Brock Lesnar, Shane McMahon? I'm kind of thinking so. But like Sean said earlier, when I was having audio difficulties, I gave SummerSlam a 10 out of 10. I enjoyed it. I did. 10 out of 10 for me. All right, Sean, I see you're back, buddy. I know you were going through Raw and SmackDown, so if you want to continue that, you can. I was just finishing off my SummerSlam thought while you were away.
Still hearing a slight echo.
That's definitely the stream, bud, because I had difficulties with it too, so that's definitely the stream going on.
Yeah, I just typed in Google, you know, possible troubleshooting as to why that happens sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, now it sounds good. So we're just going to carry on. I'll talk to you about that afterwards. But in match number 7 of Monday Night Raw, the night after SummerSlam, WWE Universal title qualifier, Roman Reigns took on Chris Jericho in the main event of the night. Your winner via pinfall in 15 minutes and 1 second. Roman Reigns, Big Cass, Seth Rollins, and Kevin Owens going to the main event of Monday Night Raw next week. All number one contenders for the vacant Universal Championship. And that concludes Monday Night Raw for 8/22/16 live from the Barclays Center. SummerSlam Fallout.
All right, buddy. Well, if I were to give my opinion of Raw, I enjoyed Raw. I really did. I gotta admit, I enjoyed Raw a lot. But just because, you know, it had the storyline, you know, of who's gonna be Universal Champion. I love the interaction of Seth Rollins and Balor, with Seth Rollins basically laughing at Balor's injury, the eye contact that they had on the rampway. I thought that was golden. Pretty much, I was pissed that Roman Reigns beat Chris Jericho in the main event, but I thought Raw was actually solid. You know, you could go back and listen to my Raw review where I give a real detailed view on it. But to just give you a rating and what I thought of it personally, I gave it a 10 with optimism. A 10 out of 10 with optimism, which means I like the tournament they put together. I like the story that they told. I wish they would have had the Fatal 4-Way on Raw. I don't know why they have to wait till Houston, Texas next week. That's what kind of worries me. It's like, what, are they planning on giving Roman Reigns the title back and they don't want to do it in Brooklyn because they know Roman Reigns would practically be eaten alive by the crowd if they were to do it? That's one thing that worried me, but I don't think the WWE is going to be that stupid. I just don't, but, you know, it is what it is, but I gave Raw a 10 out of 10. Am I being generous? Probably, like I stated on my Raw review, should it have been probably 8 or 9 out of 10? Yeah, but I gave it a 10 out of 10. I know our buddy King was there too, and he had a fun time, but,
Yo, I wouldn't be too surprised if they put that Universal Championship on Big Cass next week just to shock everyone, put him over.
Well, you know what? Point, plus it's a new title with not much history behind it, so new title, new era, maybe it's possible. Maybe Big Cass does get it.
Well, let's find out what happened on SmackDown Live Tuesday, August 23rd, 2016. SmackDown Live from Uncasville, Connecticut, Mohegan Sun Arena. In the first match of the night, we had Becky Lynch versus Alexa Bliss, winner via submission. Becky Lynch in 4 minutes and 1 second, the SmackDown Tag Team Title Tournament. First round up, the Usos took on the Ascension. Your winners via pinfall, Jimmy over Victor, the Usos in 3 minutes and 49 seconds. Match number 3, Tag Team Title Tournament once again. First round, American Alpha versus Breezango. Your winners, Gable over, well, American Alpha. Gable defeated Tyler Breeze with the pinfall. 10 minutes and 29 seconds of SmackDown Wrestling. And in the main event of the night, Dolph Ziggler took on AJ Styles. Your winner via pinfall in 21 minutes and 30 seconds. A 21 minute 30 second SmackDown match. Pretty incredible for Mr. AJ Styles. AJ gets in Dean's face and throws this headset down, and we get a confrontation, but AJ backs off before anything physical can actually go down. So now we have AJ versus Dean Ambrose on Backlash, September 11th, 2016, coming up in just 2 weeks.
Man. Well, I'll tell you right off the bat, bud, with SmackDown, another thing. I like the way that they told the story. Like, I'm not in favor at all of the other championships that are coming on board. You guys know my feelings. You can watch and listen to all the past podcasts.
I love the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. I do.
I do. The look of those belts are great. I don't know if it's silver or if it's white gold, but I love the look of it, and I love the navy blue strap.
Yeah.
It's not this shocking bright blue. It's this very subtle type of navy blue, which is beautiful. Their tag titles are beautiful. Awesome. The woman's title looks just like the Raw woman's title. Exact, except with the blue center. Bright blue, shocking blue, SmackDown blue. But it had a purpose though. We had the tag team tournament matches. We had Heath Slater looking for a partner to be in the tag tournament with. And Ziggler and Styles going at each other's throats all night until Daniel Bryan made the match. And those two went at it in one of the best SmackDown main events I've seen. I mean, Ziggler and Styles worked well together. But the one thing that really disappointed me even more is that they couldn't have Dolph Ziggler win. You know, they couldn't have him be part of the Backlash main event in the triple threat. It's like now they just had him lose. They're going to cast him aside like yesterday's garbage like they did three other times. So this will be the fourth time now that they do this. And this is going to be the end of Dolph Ziggler's run and possibly career. And I mean, it really, really upsets me. You have no idea how much it upsets me to see Dolph Ziggler going through this, because Dolph Ziggler deserves so much more. The treatment he was getting on the road to SummerSlam is exactly what he deserves, but then they take it away from him. Big match comes. All right, you're losing to Dean after one dirty deed. It's like, really? Really? That's what you guys are going to do? It just, frustrating, Sean. Real frustrating. I mean,
yeah, I guess if you're a Ziggler fan, it definitely would be. I totally understand that.
Yeah, I've been going through this, you know, with Dolph Ziggler for, what, like 5-6 years now, just this roller coaster, you know, that you can't get off. And most of it is just these rough hills that are going straight down because they screw them all the time. And it's tough. But I mean, SmackDown overall, the show with the story they told for the tag team title tournament, announcing, you know, the new belts, getting a six-pack women's match in place, getting Ziggler and Styles in a great main event matchup, which made total sense, making the Backlash main event Styles and Ambrose for the title. I mean, SmackDown really mapped it out. And I do gotta say, they did tell a great story like they did on Raw, and I give them a 10 with optimism as well. Like, not a perfect 10, but you know, just a 10 because they showed effort, they did a good job, there's optimism there, and like I said with Raw, should it be an 8 or 9 probably, but I just give it a 10 because I was thoroughly enjoyed this week compared to the last 2 weeks when I came on here basically screaming my head off because bad. And you know, it's great that we've been getting something decent this week. So 10 out of 10 for SmackDown. I don't know how you would rate Raw and SmackDown, Sean, but if you want to toss out your quick rating for Raw and SmackDown, I know for NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 2, you gave it 10 out of 10 seal of approval. SummerSlam, you gave it a 10. And what about Raw and SmackDown?
I'll go ahead and give them both 9.5. A little room for improvement.
Fair enough. Definitely great. But yeah, there's your Raw and SmackDown recaps, all that good stuff.
So how about what do you got for us this week in news and rumors?
Well, news and rumors, I got a few stories, buddy. You got anything you want to share with us beforehand, before I get right into this?
I could see what interests me real quick on the old interwebs. If anything pops up.
All right.
I was planning on letting you take over this week, but maybe I could find a little gem.
Because I got those three stories that I narrowed it down to, and I figured maybe if you want to do one, you know, so you get a little. What do you got?
Go, you hit it. Go for your stories, because I don't really got anything.
Okay. Well, I got an update on Sasha Banks' injury status. Surgery. Also, Austin Aries injured at NXT TakeOver Brooklyn. God, I hope that's not the case. But as you heard, when SummerSlam was still rolling on the air, Sasha Banks has been pulled from all live events and TV tapings, you know, for WWE over the last 30 days. You know, over the next 30 days, I should say. But now there's an update to this. According to F4WOnline.com, the good news coming out of Sasha Banks' current injury situation is that she will not, and she will be returning to action much sooner. Uh-oh, wait a minute. What about this pop-up? Damn it, I gotta go back into it. Sorry about that. I hate these pop-ups, man.
Yep.
I had to exit out of it, and I gotta pull this back up again, so bear with me. Bear with me.
Pop-up should be illegal.
Yeah, especially when you're trying to do a podcast.
Like you're sitting back, enjoying reading an article, and boom!
Exactly, buddy.
If anything, it pisses you more off rather than make you interested in their product.
That's definitely true. All right, let's see. Here it is. All right. So like I said, the good news coming out of Sasha Banks is that she will not need surgery. She will be returning to action much sooner than originally feared. As noted, Banks has been pulled from several upcoming live events due to a back injury, which is why she dropped the WWE Women's title at SummerSlam. So there we go. Good news for Sasha Banks fans and myself included. Also, we have Austin Aries injured at NXT TakeOver Brooklyn. So in other injury news, Austin Aries tweeted the following. Oh, Austin Aries put ruptured eardrum at NXT TakeOver, thanks to sockless loafer boy Hideo Itami, it won't cost much to repair, but I will save the receipt for you. Wow. Austin Aries is basically saying he's going to give Hideo Itami his receipt, but Austin Aries, how about that with a ruptured eardrum at NXT TakeOver?
Man, that is no fun.
Not at all, man, but glad to hear about the Sasha Banks news. What else I got for you guys here? Let's see.
I'm wondering how long it'll take WWE to actually put that belt back on her. I don't think they're going to give it to her anytime soon. I think they're going to wait this one out probably until Mania.
You know what? I can definitely see that. I will definitely agree with you there on that one. But, Sean, you and everybody else listening to is going to be able to sink their teeth into big time. Listen to this. This is on sportskedia.com. WWE News. WWE officials were interested in bringing him back. So, we got Kurt Angle is currently working as a free agent. Former WWE and TNA star Kurt Angle was the recent guest on the Reality of Wrestling show in Texas City, Texas. During the interview, the former world champion talked about the rumors of his WWE return and gave some interesting thoughts regarding his status with the company. Talking about a possible return, Angle said that he would return if he gets the right opportunity on the right show. Also revealed that he talked with the WWE officials a few months ago and they showed interest in bringing Angle back. Angle says, for me to go back, it would have to be the right match, the right program. Also, you would have to get interest from Triple H and Vince McMahon. I spoke with them a few months ago, and they do have interest, and they just don't know what they want to do, and they don't know when. Former WWE star continued by saying that he has not talked to the officials since the last conversation, and fans should not expect to see him in a WWE ring anytime soon. Kurt Angle says, I have not talked to anybody in the last few months. I do not expect to until late fall. You are not going to see Kurt Angle in that ring this year. Maybe next year you'll see me, or maybe not at all. It was more of a loose conversation. They have interest, and I have interest, but the talks did not really go anywhere, so right now I am enjoying my time off. While talking about his WrestleMania dream match, the former world champion said that he wanted to wrestle Daniel Bryan. But since Daniel Bryan is retired now, Kurt Angle showed interest in wrestling Seth Rollins, while also mentioning the likes of Cesaro, Kevin Owens, and Roman Reigns. Kurt Angle had this to say. Kurt Angle says, I wanted Daniel Bryan, but I don't think he is able to go anymore. Angle says, I would say right now on the roster, Seth Rollins. Shout. He is what he does. His ability in the ring right now, he is one of the best in the world. And there are other wrestlers I like. The rest of my crew, Cesaro, Kevin Owens, Roman Reigns right now, I think. Along with this, Kurt Angle also praised the in-ring skills and a veteran, AJ Styles, and claimed that he enjoyed his time in both the WWE and TNA with no regrets. So there you go, huge story on Kurt Angle. Sean, how do you feel about this one, buddy?
Well, I can definitely see a Kurt Angle, AJ Styles WrestleMania match being a really great thing.
I would love that. All right, I got a couple more. Jericho and Brock Lesnar story, and then the quick run SmackDown ratings, and we'll be good to go here. Let's see. WrestlingInc.com. Alright, let's see. Come on, load up, please. Please. Alright. Jim Ross on Brock Lesnar and Chris Jericho altercations. That's not the whole story. This is just part of it. Give me the whole story. I don't want Jim Ross just talking about it. Jericho. Hold on here. Sorry, these things are just not popping up like I thought they would. Alright, let's see if this works. Alright, big backstage altercation between Chris Jericho and Brock Lesnar at WWE SummerSlam. This is by Mark Middleton. of Wrestling INC. This is sources F4W Online. The finish to Brock Lesnar versus Randy Orton at WWE SummerSlam went pretty much as planned, but led to a big incident between Chris Jericho and Brock Lesnar backstage. According to Dave Meltzer, the Wrestling Observer newsletter, multiple reports that Chris Jericho came to the gorilla position as the match ended, apparently to find out exactly what happened and to see if Randy Orton was all right. Jericho asked WWE producer Michael P.S. Hayes if that was the planned finish, and Hayes would not respond to him. Jericho then said, "That is bullshit." Jericho's and came just as Brock Lesnar was returning backstage. Lesnar, thinking Jericho was talking about the match, Lesnar called Jericho a pussy. According to one version, or just said, "Shut up," according to another version. And for Jericho to mind his own business. So then Jericho walked up, got right face to face with Lesnar, and had words with him. One version of the story says that they were shouting at each other the whole time, and Lesnar reportedly pushed Jericho with his fingers. Jericho then did what was described as the Rousey Tate forehead press, where he came back at him and got forehead to forehead with him and really got in his face. Another version of the story said that Chris Jericho shoved Lesnar into the wall after that, and the two were then tangled up against the wall, and Lesnar told Jericho to either punch him or kiss him. Triple H then jumped in and broke things up, and the two went at it again, but this time Vince McMahon broke it up, and Jericho was then yelling about Lesnar, and Vince told Jericho that everything was a work and to be professional. Triple H reportedly told Vince that Lesnar started the fight and that Jericho was just standing up for himself. No words were exchanged, but Jericho saw Orton's condition and got mad. It was noted that Jericho was concerned with Orton's health and safety, but Orton assured Jericho that he knew what was going to happen. So that's a big story right there. Man, I think...
What's that? Especially for you, I mean, like, you were one of Brock Lesnar's biggest supporters going into SummerSlam, and there you have your favorite wrestler saying that it was absolutely bullshit.
And you know what? I have even more mad respect for Jericho now. Imagine to stand up and get face to face with Brock Lesnar, knowing that he's much bigger than you. I'm telling you, Jericho definitely has some fucking guts, if you ask me.
Well, man, that's what, you know, being a man's all about. Like, you're not going to sit back and watch something that you think is bullshit happen and just, you know, sit back and be a pussy about it. You have to stand up and say what you feel and why you feel it and, you know, because you feel it. You're not going to sit back and let one of your best friends or your coworkers get totally ripped open and humiliate it in front of the world and treat it like a piece of meat when that's not what this business is about. I mean, Brock Lesnar was just relentlessly cruel in that match, and Jericho did the right thing by standing up and saying this is bullshit, because it was. There's no need for that. And, like, the difference with that and, you know, John Cena versus Bradshaw and Eddie Guerrero type of color, it's like, that at least worked. I mean, this Brock Lesnar match just felt uncomfortable, and it almost just felt like desperate. Like, WWE's like, oh my God, we're going to get color. Like, I mean, it didn't even feel real. Like, I know it was a work from the second it happened. I'm like, this is fucking bullshit, just like Jericho said. This was bullshit. I'm sure Jericho wasn't even pissed about the blood or about the hits as much as he was pissed about how pathetic looking it was. It wasn't believable. It was the worst match I've ever seen in SummerSlam history. And Brock Lesnar is a total, you know, buzzkill. I mean, why are we even going to watch his matches anymore if he's just going to have to be put over like some Godzilla-like character that's unstoppable? I mean, it's fucking boring.
Well, the thing that disappointed me, Sean, was that it was only 10 or 11 minutes. I'm like...
Exactly, it was boring.
a show closer that gets 10 or 11 minutes. That doesn't happen. Say, that does not happen. This match should have been placed at the middle of the card, in my opinion. I mean, Styles and Cena should have been the show closer. That match blew the roof off of the Barclays Center. There was no match that stood even close to Styles and Cena.
I've never agreed with Jericho more than his comments on that match, and I'm so proud of him for sticking up to Brock Lesnar, because Brock Lesnar is one egotistical son of a bitch. And you know what? He has it to back up. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, that's the one thing. He has it to back up, and that's why.
You know what, though? He left one time. He took his ball and went home because he was a fucking, you know, baby. He didn't like people. Wah. He didn't like the people that were paying his paycheck, the audience. Wah. Get over it. Do your fucking job. Yeah, sure, he went to MMA and became very successful. Fine. That's good. But don't rip us off on your way out. And then all these people sucking his dick now that he's back. After, you know, 10 years ago, he whipped everyone off and said, F you, I'm done with you. And now everyone's supposed to respect him and love him. I totally agreed with Randy Orton's words on this. Randy Orton said, Brock Lesnar doesn't care about anyone but Brock Lesnar, and that includes the WWE Universe. And I'm sorry, as a professional, there's no room for that in a professional world. Brock Lesnar is a dangerous and really not even talented at this point. He's just nothing but ruthless. He's not talented, he's just ruthless.
Oh yeah, he's a ruthless human being, and like I said, I'm a fan of Brock Lesnar, I always will be, but will I take Lesnar's side over Jericho's? No. Of course not, because Jericho's my favorite. And like I said, I am really shocked for Chris Jericho. I mean, all right, Chris Jericho's no small man. At times, he's a big dude. But compared to Brock Lesnar, Chris Jericho is small. Compared to the fighting experience, Brock Lesnar is a combat fighter when Chris Jericho is not. But for Chris Jericho to basically get in his face, shove him against the wall, and like, you know, they're basically getting this little tiff backstage with Lesnar, I'm surprised Jericho stood toe-to-toe with him like that. That's, I mean, I gotta admit, I wouldn't have the balls to do it if I had to approach Brock Lesnar. I mean, come on. To do that, Brock Lesnar, that means you got balls bigger than Vince McMahon, in my opinion, if you're gonna go up to him and try to fight him yet. Real life, mind you. And in the ring, you know, planned out match. We're talking real life fighting in the back, a scuffle. For Jericho to do that, he's definitely got some balls.
He's no coward, and I respect that greatly. Because you know what? Sometimes in life, when you have a merciless, reckless, and just straight up bastardly heel in real life like Brock Lesnar, There's no room for cowarding down. You know what? He may kill you, but at least you go out standing up for what you believe in and trying to just set straight this wicked person that there's no room for in a company like the WWE. I mean, Brock Lesnar.
That's pretty much exactly what Chris Jericho did, basically.
And that's what I'm doing right now. I'm setting it straight that Brock Lesnar is reckless. And I think that it's very brave for Randy Orton to go in the ring with someone as reckless as that to begin with. And it's even more brave for someone like Chris Jericho to stand up for his friend Randy Orton and let Brock Lesnar know that he thinks he's a spineless coward. And I hope they have a match where Jericho could knock Lesnar down a notch and, you know, defeat him, because this is a good work to do now, and it's definitely an interesting angle. And these two guys, they've been up and down the road together, and I think it's about time that they have a match.
Yeah, I mean, the story's out there now, but I mean, it would totally make sense for them to go at it. I'd be all for it 100%. I'd be all for Jericho getting the win over Lesnar because, you know, my favorite's my favorite, and I'm going to root for my favorite. So, I mean, I wish that would happen. But, well, you know, it's a great thing. The story's out there now. They could make a great real-life angle off of this. But you know what? I got two more short stories here. One being the WWE Raw ratings, and one being the WWE SmackDown ratings. So let's spend about 5 minutes apiece on these, since we got 10 minutes left in the news and rumors segment. WWE Raw ratings for August 22nd, 2016. Viewers are up from last week. So listen to this. Considering Monday's episode of Monday Night Raw came up one night after the WWE SummerSlam pay-per-view, it was expected that viewership would be up. Sure enough, after two consecutive weeks of under 3 million, the show drew 3.31 million viewers this week. It is worth noting that they did not have to go up against the Olympics this week. Now, they still had trouble maintaining interest throughout the show, however. Now, listen to this. This goes to show you the trouble that they did have. One drew 3.46 million viewers in the 8 o'clock hour. Hour 2, 3.37 million viewers in the 9 o'clock hour. And then hour 3 drew 3.11 million viewers in the 10 o'clock hour, which is a big drop throughout the show. Now, the show opened up with Finn Balor vacating the WWE Universal Championship and closed with Roman Reigns earning his way into a fatal four-way to determine the new Universal Champ next week. The hope, of course, is the increased viewers will be interested enough to stick around. Now, football season looms large. So with Monday Night Football happening within the next, 2 weeks, what is that going to do to the ratings? But, you know, for holding over 3 million viewers, probably pulling in a rating of, maybe a 2.6, 2.7, somewhere around there. I mean, they did okay. It's good that ratings are up. I mean, how do you feel about that, buddy?
Yeah, it's definitely good. It's
good. I think they got a good one there. Where SmackDown has been. Because we know ever since SmackDown has gone live, he had the greatest of ratings. But, you know, let's see what we get here. All right. You know what? I should have went on TVbythenumbers.com rather than Cage Side Seats for that. I'll do this for SmackDown. Because they got TV by the numbers here. SmackDown ratings, okay. Tuesday SmackDown cable ratings. It says, WWE SmackDown continued to hold the top spot in Tuesday's cable ratings this week, ticking up 0.2 from its previous 0.8 to a 1.0 rating in adults for the 18 to 49 demographic. Now, meanwhile, the haves and have-nots held steady with the 0.8 once again for the OWN network as well. Forms Pretty Little Liars dropped 0.1. It is 0.6. Also, while the season 3 premiere of Forged in Fire scored a 0.4 on the History Channel. So, you know, hearing what SmackDown has to go up against, I'm not too surprised that, you know, they got, you know, slightly, over 3 million viewers and got a 1.0 in the 18 to 49 demographic. because going up against those few shows that I just read you, I think I'd rather watch any of them on a Tuesday night rather than, you know, watch any of those other shows that I was listening to. But like from last week to this week, okay, they're down ever so slightly because SmackDown Drew, I was right. Not over 3 million, but I was right about the over 2 million. 2.641 million viewers, down 4% from 2.473 viewers for the official. Alright, there we go. So, let's see. SmackDown is drawing a consistent 18 to 34 audience. Let's see, the Tate Thursday show earlier this year really struggled to attract a younger audience, hitting historical low points in June. So ever the 18 to 34 demographic is really picking up too. Everything being live. So, you know, SmackDown viewers up, you know, 2.743 million. Well, they were down slightly from last week. Sorry, just down a little slightly, but still holding over 2 million. So, if that pulls into like a 1.9 or a 2.0 overall rating, but I don't think it's that bad. I mean, compared to Monday Night Raw is always going to get the higher ratings. I don't care, you know, what you're doing on SmackDown, because honestly, it really doesn't matter. You could do anything on SmackDown that wants. You know, it's fact that Raw is always going to win the ratings battle because they're the flagship show. You know, period. They're the flagship show. Like, here's this week for August 22nd. Here's the thing since the draft happened. Overall ratings, this is overall how many people that they drew. Average viewers throughout. July 25th. Raw had 3.3 million viewers, SmackDown had 2.7 million viewers. Alright, so they were slightly up this week, sorry. August 1st, 4 million viewers, SmackDown 2.6 million viewers. August 8th, Raw 2.9 million viewers, SmackDown 2.4 million viewers. Let's see, August 15th, Raw 3.0 million viewers, SmackDown 2.4 million viewers. And this week, August 22nd, Raw 3.4 million viewers and SmackDown 0.7 million viewers. So SmackDown was up this week from last, but still trailing Raw pretty considerably in the numbers every single week. And to me, that's just because Raw is the flagship show. That's how it is and that's how it always will be. But you know, definitely some good stuff here and a lot of stuff to pick apart. I hope that the ratings continue the way they've been. You know, they seem to be getting steady viewership for each show, but I do want Raw to pretty much get the edge as always. I've always been a Raw guy number one, even in the first draft. But I don't know, Sean, well, we got a couple minutes left on this. What do you got to say about all those ratings for Raw and SmackDown and them all apart there?
Yep.
What was that, bud?
Sorry, just had to go grab something quick.
Okay.
Yo, but I do have to dispute with you. When Paul Heyman was GM, there were weeks where SmackDown was higher rated.
Yeah, back in the day. Oh, yeah, back then. Actually, that's when Paul Heyman, I think, was the head creative writer, wasn't he? Or, like, helping write SmackDown creative? And yeah, he was GM too at one point. I do remember those days. Paul Heyman was bringing, you know, pretty solid things into SmackDown, and they had the SmackDown 6, back in the day, which was like what, I forgot who the SmackDown 6 were right off the top of my head, because I'm trying to think too quick, but, you know, they had the SmackDown 6.
Wasn't it, Undertaker, Eddie Guerrero, Edge, Kurt Angle, Chris Benoit, JBL.
Yep. I'm pretty sure that's it. You got it.
And John Cena.
Yep. And then John Cena went to Raw shortly after, and they had a phenomenal thing going. So definitely, yeah, good point there. Thank you for pointing that out.
So it could happen, man. It could happen again.
You're definitely right on that one, buddy. Well, that about wraps up my news and rumors segment, man.
All right.
If you got a story or anything you want to talk about, or...
No, sorry. You know what time of the week it is. It is time to go back in the time machine of our wrestling world and find out what happened this day in WWE and all of wrestling history.
All right.
So,
What do we got, bud?
Well, this day in wrestling history, August 24th. Of course, once again, we'd like to shout out and give a big happy 71st birthday to Mr. Vincent Kennedy McMahon, the creator of sports entertainment, as it is now a true American icon, a pioneer, a real legend. And I know it's easy to make fun of him or hate on him sometimes, but let me tell you something. If it wasn't for that guy, the world, I think, would be a lot darker of a place and a lot sadder of a place. And this guy's brought millions and billions of hours of enjoyment to people all over the world. And I can't say thank you enough, Mr. Vince McMahon, and I wish you a very happy birthday today.
Definitely agree with you. I second the notion. Happy birthday to Mr. Vince McMahon. I mean, do we all wish that Vince McMahon was the same as he was back in the Attitude Era days? Yeah, but like Sean said, you cannot deny what Vince McMahon has done for the world and the world of professional wrestling. You know, Vince, it's actually because of Vince McMahon why we're here doing the show tonight, and why I met Sean, and why I went to so many WrestleManias, and why I basically met all my friends because of wrestling. And, you know, when you really think about it, Vince really did make life really good as far as creating this wonderful thing of WWE sports entertainment. But, you know, it's just the way things are now. Well, that's mainly... See what we try to get across. It's that we love how it was, you know, from what it used to be, and we wish that Vince McMahon would still have that same vision of what still had that ruthless killer instinct. But you know, it is what it is. Vince still did for us what he did, and
yep.
Happy 71st birthday to the man himself, Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
I absolutely agree, buddy, with that. And we talked about this on the show before, but it just so happens that 20 years ago today, WWF presented Xperience from Canadian National Exhibition Stadium in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. 21,211 were in attendance for the event, celebrating the 10th anniversary of the big event taking place in the same building with more than triple the attendance. Now, we of course remember this as the very first ever internet streamed Canadian exclusive only. The only way you could watch this is if you had the internet in Canada in 1996. I mean, that's just remarkable to think that they were streaming pay-per-views on the internet. This was a one-time shot, I believe. They only tried this. This was like a very rare thing for them to try, very bold. I mean, I would love footage from this event is very, very rare just because of the way it was broadcasted. And the matches were as follows. The Godwins, Henry and Phineas defeated the Rockers, Marky Jannetty and Leaf Cassidy. Hunter Hearst Helmsley defeated Bob Holly. Savio Vega defeated Justin Hawk Bradshaw. Jose Lothario defeated Jim Cornette. Stone Cold Steve Austin defeated Mark Miro by countout. And Psycho Sid defeated Vader in a lumberjack match. Playing the role of lumberjacks were members of the Canadian Football League, the Toronto Argonauts. Farouk defeated Aldo Montoya. Owen Hart and the British Bulldog defeated the Smoking Guns, Billy and Bart via DQ in a WWF Tag Team Championship match. The Undertaker defeated Mankind in a casket match. What I would give to see that. And in the main event of the night, Shawn Michaels defeated Goldust in one of his only ever WWF Championship matches in a ladder match to retain the WWF champion. Shawn Michaels defeated Goldust in a ladder match up in Toronto, Canada for the pay-per-view of Experience. Let me pull this up real quick. I know we might go a little bit over time with this, but I think this is important because it's so interesting to me to find out what how this pay-per-view is broadcast officially.
Oh, definitely, man. Go right ahead. I know that this is definitely a groundbreaking event. I wish that WWE actually had film cameras rolling to where, you know, we could have had this show on the network, but, you know, that's how it goes. You know, WWE, they promise every WWE pay-per-view, well, where is it? Sorry, I mean, I know we got the majority. I know we got 99% of everything, but it's like, hey, I gotta ask. I just gotta ask. So it is what it is. I really hope Sean does find the information on this because this is very interesting. I'm so happy that we're actually on the air to the, oh my God, it's the 20-year anniversary of it too.
Yeah.
96 to 2016, 20 years. That is awesome. And then, you know, this was something that we didn't just talk about one time. I remember, Sean, we talked about it. You, me, and Evan talked about it. I mean, this is one of those forgotten gems that for some reason always passes through and we always remember it. And it's funny that it just got brought up out of nowhere tonight. Going back in the time machine on Today in Wrestling History. That's absolutely incredible.
So here's a bit of information I'm finding from forum.wrestlingfigs.com. Someone says, HBK Big Daddy Cool says, they have seen the ladder match via fan cam at the exhibition grounds. It was just a giant house show. WWE is trying to celebrate the 10-year anniversary of the big event being there. So they ran a big live event with the stacked show for the crowd. It was taped by WWE cameras. It was never released in any way, but they do know that they showed clips of this event on Raw back in September of 96. So clearly WWE did tape it, yet it has never been released in its entirety.
Oh, man.
Now, someone says, it was considered an iPay-per-view.
Yeah, iPay-per-view, that's internet pay-per-view.
Yep. Now I'm just trying to, find out.
Hey, take your time, man. I'm interested in this as much as you are, and I'm sure everybody listening as well. I mean, this is an awesome, little story here, and once that kind of stand the test of time.
Well, it's a little bit impossible to even find this right now. I know we had it.
It's probably one of those they don't really have much on. I know there was, what was it, the one thing you were reading, like 10 events that are not on the WWE Network, and that's where this originally was, I think, when we found it.
Yeah, you're right.
And that was on What Culture, correct?
Yep, let's see if I can pull it up here real quick.
Oh, great. What culture fucking me with VMA fucking pop-ups?
Oh, I hate those pop-ups, man. The internet should just get rid of them. I mean, seriously. Get rid of pop-ups.
Yes.
Nobody would miss them. I tell you, I wouldn't.
And now I don't want to watch the VMAs. I did a little bit before that pop-up, but I hear Britney Spears will be performing at the VMAs for the first time in like 10 years. So I want to see her shake her butt, but now I'm not going to watch. That's, of course, the VMAs this Sunday night on MTV if you are interested.
I'll probably be ended up playing my PlayStation 4 and kicking back and relaxing like usual.
Here we go, man. You helped us find it here. 20 years ago today, a little continuation of this day in wrestling history, WWE Experience. Well, WWF. The Canadian-only event was very possibly the first time a wrestling promotion had stuck its toes in the murky waters of internet pay-per-view, or iPay-per-view as it's known today. Essentially, Experience was a glorified house show that took place around the 10th anniversary of 1986's The Big Event, another Canadian-only pay-per-view which drew 74,000 fans to Toronto's Exhibition Stadium. In 1996, on August 24th, the Federation once again brought fans to the Exhibition Stadium due to its territorial nature and exclusivity to online streaming. Any footage or information from the event is extremely hard to come by. However, photos from the event were published in an issue of WWF Magazine from the same time. And if one digs deep enough, they can find some fan cam footage online. Furthermore, according to reports, the event only drew about 21,000 fans, nothing to laugh at, but relatively small compared to the big event. And it goes on to talk about, you know, Experience was headlined by a main event ladder match for the WWF title. Goldust would face off with then-champion Shawn Michaels in a hard-fought contest, but would be unable to secure gold in the semi-main event. The Undertaker and Mankind continued their feud, battling each other in a casket match, wherein The Undertaker would leave victorious. Other matches on the card saw Steve Austin defeat Mark Merrow, Savio Vega overcame Bradshaw in a Caribbean strap match, Psycho Sid toppled Vader in a lumberjack contest, and the Smoking Guns retained their tag team gold in a DQ victory over Owen Hart and the British Bulldog. All in all, the Canadian event seemed to have an intriguing card and some solid action. It's a wonder, however, why this event was never released elsewhere, not even on home video. One has to suspect WWE has the original footage somewhere in its vault. If so, it would make an excellent addition to the network simply due to its mystique, intrigue, and exclusivity. So, man, the first ever wrestling, basically like the first ever time WWE got anywhere close to being what they are today with the WWE Network, using the internet to stream their pay-per-view 20 years ago, and now it's a full-time thing. So 20
I years found... ago... Oh, sorry about that, bud. Go ahead.
No. I'm just saying, you know, 20 years ago, imagine who in their right mind would be able to comprehend how to do that 20 years ago. You had to be a real genius and an internet pioneer. I mean, Big T didn't even join the internet until 2009. That's, you know, 15 years after this pay-per-view was streaming on the internet.
Oh, yeah.
I joined the internet that year, so I definitely would have had no idea how to do that. But Big T, that wraps it up for me today in this day in wrestling history. I hope everyone had a great show. I'd like to thank Big T again for having me. It was an incredible show. A absolute 10 out of 10. And we will see you here again next week for Big Bad episode number 15. And that's it for me, buddy. Thanks again for having me.
Welcome, Sean. And by the way, I just looked up on YouTube, there's one video from WWF Experience, and it even says rare in the title, Shawn Michaels versus Goldust. There's fan cam footage on YouTube, so if you want to search
that.
Yeah, definitely. It's on there. So there's one video from Experience up on YouTube there. And, again, Sean, you know, no problem. It's a pleasure having you, and I'm glad that the audio, you know, is finally sounding well and everything's working. So it's funny that as soon as I came on and you phoned into this call, you, I had a new mic, so. No mystery there. I'm working with this bad boy. I got the Rode NT USB mic and all that good stuff. So, you know, it was a great show. I'm really proud of what we did tonight. Definitely happy with what we did tonight and just had a really, really fun time. And I want to tell everybody here that's watching, whether you watch the video podcast on YouTube or you've been listening to this on iTunes and Podomatic, and I appreciate you joining Sean and I tonight. And, you know, we're 14 episodes in on this wonderful journey, and we're going to be doing episode 15 next week. This is just getting bigger and bigger and better and better. So join the Beyond the Ring Army today. Hit that subscribe button on iTunes Podomatic. If you're watching the video podcast on YouTube, hit subscribe on YouTube. Let's get these numbers. Let's keep them moving on up. And let's see. I guess this week I'm also on my YouTube side of it. I don't have anything else coming this week. The next time I will be on YouTube live will be on Monday night after Raw and Tuesday night after SmackDown. Then if everything goes well and our schedules sync up again next Wednesday night, for another episode 15, another podcast here. So we're keeping things going. Things are working out great. They're going great. And we appreciate you for, joining us. Now, for those of you, maybe if you're watching the replay back on YouTube of the audio version of the podcast, make sure you leave your likes, make sure you comment, and make sure you subscribe. If you're listening on iTunes, Podomatic, make sure you subscribe and leave those 5-star ratings. Regardless if you're listening on iTunes and Podomatic or watching the video podcast on YouTube, this podcast is free all the way around. It does not cost you a dime to download or to watch or to listen, so make sure you subscribe on either platform. It's all free. Don't forget to check out my website, www.beyondtheringwithbigt.com. Website updates are coming soon, so make sure you check out the website and all that good stuff. But, you know, I guess this will be all till when I come back on YouTube Monday night and then Tuesday night. And for those of you that maybe just listen to the podcast, we'll see you here next week for episode number 15 of the Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast. So with all that talk out of the way, Sean, what time is it, buddy? How do we handle things over here when we're getting ready to walk off into the sunset?
EC3.
That's right, buddy. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you heard what Sean said. It's time for the former two-time TNA World Heavyweight Champion and the current number one contender for the TNA World Heavyweight Championship at Bound for Glory, Mr. EC3. He sends us off in the right way, sends us off walking into the sunset every single week. And he's going to do the same this week. So thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. And we will see you next week for episode number 15. And we're going to send you on to Mr. EC3 right here and right now to send us off into the sunset to close out episode number 14 and we'll see you next week for episode number 15 of the podcast. Thank you very much for watching and listening, and we will see you next week. Have a great week, everybody. Stay safe. We'll see you next week for episode number 15. And here's Mr. EC3. It's on out. So listen to EC3 send us off in the sunset, and we will see you and talk to you next week. Good night, everybody.
Hello, this is EC3 of TNA Wrestling, and you are so very fortunate because you are watching Beyond the Ring with Big T.